Well, the finance sector shed the most jobs this time around, and APSA has echoed others in the sector, expecting its interim earnings to take a knock due to the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Amidst it all, the group has upped its COVID-19 response nevertheless, and the company's CEO, Daniel Minnelli, joins us on the line now with more of the detail. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So globally, business has really been put in the spotlight in terms of how it springs to any call to action. We've had 19 million rand worth of support coming through from your end so far in the territories you operate in. Simply put, this is a moral obligation right now, right?
Hi, Alicia. Good evening to you and your viewers. Yes, indeed. This is obviously a crisis of major proportions and unprecedented in terms of what we have seen. So the response and the approach that we've taken in responding to the crisis was, of course, first and foremost, to make sure that we ensure the health and safety of our staff, that we stay close to our customers and support them, and also to ensure that our operations remain resilient, and also from a financial perspective that we put in the right defenses there. But of course, we have also been involved in humanitarian efforts to support vulnerable communities in which we operate across all our markets.
Absolutely. You've been involved in a myriad of packages. On a broader scale, though, Daniel, I've got to ask you, there's been a lot of criticism on the 200 billion rand bank guarantee scheme, plainly put, that it just isn't working right now, with less than 2 billion rand, so that about 1% of the scheme target actually having been dispersed. What's the holdup on that front?
Alicia, yes, I guess it's fair to say that the take-up has not been particularly strong thus far. We will have to see whether potentially that may still improve. But there are a number of reasons that explain that. Firstly, by the time the scheme took effect, which was around the 12th of May, quite a number of the banks, certainly speaking for our institution, we had already assisted as part of our relief programs quite a number of our clients that fall into that segment that facility was applicable for. The other issue, of course, is given that the situation is unfolding, there's a lot of uncertainty still. A number of companies were also a little bit careful in terms of their capacity to take on more debt, given that they just don't know how this situation is going to unfold. Some of them focused on cutting costs. And I suppose some of the conditions attached to the support might have made it a little bit of a slow start, but you would have heard that there are efforts at the moment to look at whether there could be modifications to that scheme to facilitate a higher level of take-up.
Of course, on your end, you've seen credit impairments double, Daniel, year on year in the first 4 months of this year, well above the target range, and in fact similar to 2009 level. So from a bank's perspective, what kind of risk are you pricing in potentially going down this avenue a little bit more aggressively? Is the scheme asking you to be potentially what you aren't at the end of the day, and given that this is inherently counterculture for a bank?
No, the way the scheme is structured at the moment is such that banks would have to follow their normal credit processes in evaluating any applications that they get. So the idea here was not to get the banking sector to take undue risk, but to evaluate and help customers in line with their usual process. And that's why, as part of the conditions, the companies that were looking to take advantage of the scheme were encouraged to approach their primary bank to assist them. And so that's basically the issues that we have been looking at. They've been taken through our usual standard evaluation process just to make sure, as I said earlier on, that some of the customers that may not be best served by piling more debt into those businesses are assisted appropriately as well.
Okay. Amidst it all, Daniel, how have you had to assess and refine APSA's growth strategy, where you've said you've had no choice but, to halt your growth ambitions in preservation of cash, where liquidity is the priority right now?
In line with obviously the evolving operating environment, what we have indeed decided is that the focus for now will have to be on preserving capital, on making sure that we've got appropriate liquidity buffers. But we are also in the process of starting to think through what a post-COVID operating environment might look like, what opportunities might exist then. And in that regard, we've got parallel streams that are looking at more digital innovation, entrenching the working from home models, touchless payments, digital wallets, and all those kind of things. But for now, the focus is on managing our capital position, making sure we've got sufficient buffers and adequate liquidity.
Let's leave it there. Daniel, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, ABSA's CEO, Daniel Minnelli.